Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Toll, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. Well, we have a really good show today, exciting show today, with a special guest in the studio. We have Miss Alex Lombard. Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Hey. So glad to have you today. Give you a quick little background on Alex. She's an award-winning actress. I love the arts here. She's a writer, director, yogini.
That's true.
And vegetarian. Right, and a self-proclaimed cinephile. That's a devoted moviegoer, if you don't know what that is. So that's what I am too, Alex. So we're going to have a lot to talk about today. That's going to be fun. So let's first start off by giving a special thanks to yesterday's guest. That's Carla Turan. You guys check that out in the archives. It's latalkradio.com/tola.php. Yeah, Carla's the creator and founder of the organic and sustainable LA-based clothing company called Fifth Dimension Clothing. Check it out. Really good interview with her, all about saving the planet. Beautiful clothes as well. Today's also Throwback Thursday, TBT. So you know what we do with that? We throw back to a date in the past. We're going back to 1979. Were you even around, Alex? You don't look like you're...
You know, I'm not going to date
myself. You're not going to date yourself.
Sorry, guys. Don't try to trick me.
I'm not going to trick you, but I'll tell you, you definitely look young. Pretty hot, too. Well, of course, she's an actress. What can I say? You know, that's the end of the disco era. Remember that? I mean, I was starting my senior year in high school in 1979, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, let's go around the globe. You know, we like to go around the globe with some news stories. And speaking of high school, I was a big baseball player back in high school. So this first story, we're going to stay local and call it Dodger Town. I don't know if Alex is a big baseball fan.
You know, I know absolutely nothing about baseball, but something did happen recently. Baseball players got really hot, and I don't know how it happened, because when I was a kid...
I love that.
No, when I was a kid, they were like old and fat.
Old and fat.
They were, and then something happened, and now they're super hot, so...
The game was elevated. I'll tell you what happened. The game was elevated. No, seriously, everyone got faster, stronger. You know, steroids kind of came into play not too long ago, so, I mean, I think if you're... There's only a few guys that are like under 6 feet, and it's really, the game has changed, no doubt. So, yeah, that's why the guys are hot. We're going to talk about a couple hot guys here, so who knows, maybe you have some background here. But, yeah, so let's get started, because this is kudos to Clayton Kershaw and the Los Angeles Dodgers as they clinched the National League West division title last night with a win over San Francisco Giants 9-1. Anybody catch that? I mean, this guy, Clayton Kershaw, first of all, he's 26 years old. From Dallas, Texas, lefty, amazing pitcher. He wears number 22, and he gets paid $4 million, which he should be making 3-4 times that, maybe 5 times that, which he will. But anyway, he's an awesome pitcher. He won the Dodgers won their second consecutive division title behind this impressive Clayton Kershaw. Let me tell you, this guy, I mean, I'm a big, big, huge fan. He pitched 8 innings, 8 hits, gave up 1 run, struck out 11, and no walks. So, Alex, when they do a strikeouts to walk ratio, it's like 2-1. Well, it's like 11-0. And this guy's amazing. Okay,
wow.
Yeah, he's got 21 wins. He leads the majors.
Is he cute?
Well, he wears a big scruffy beard, and he's married. He's like
okay,
a big Texas boy, 6'3". Well, I don't know. Well, how can I answer that question? The next story, I think you're going to be impressed with how cute he is. Well, he leads the NL National League with strikeouts, 239. He's got a microscopic ERA, 1.77. Yeah, you know, he's going to be probably getting his third National League Cy Young Award. Everybody knows that, for the best pitcher. Probably going to get the MVP award, no doubt. All night long last night, they were chanting, the fans were chanting, MVP. So he's up for it. Typically, pitchers don't get the MVP of the league, but he will, most likely. And the Dodgers are going to host the division series at Dodger Stadium. Love that place. Starting October 3rd. Well, I think that's when you want to tune in, Alex, because then all the hot guys will be playing there.
Okay, thank you for the tip.
I need
all the help I can get.
I don't know about that. Come on. You walk down the street, you're getting hit on.
Tough town.
Well, all those actors, you got to stay away from those guys. It's bad guys. All right, here we go. Speaking of baseball, now here's a guy you're going to really be hot for, Derek Jeter.
He's cute.
He's cute. Yeah, no question he's cute. He's like the number one marketable guy on the planet right now. You know, he's playing in his last game today. You know, he's 40 years old, played ball for 20 years. He's playing in his last game at Yankee Stadium, 7:05 tonight against Baltimore. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Jimmy V. He's got to be going to the game. Hey, Vito, you know, have a drink for me, I guess. Yeah, I used to go all the time. I never went to the new Yankee Stadium. I've been to the old Yankee Stadium. But here's a couple things to look out for if you're watching that game. It's going to be an awesome game because they just love him up in there in the Bronx. Look out for the bleacher creatures. You know what the bleacher creatures are?
No, but I'm dying to know.
Dying to... Well, Yankee Stadium, they have a bleacher section, right? And before each game, they do a roll call where they go, you know, they're all banging and they go, Derek Jeter. And they go around the field and the players kind of flip their gloves to say hello to the bleacher creatures. So they go around every... But now I think you're going to hear the whole stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the whole stadium's like going to give the roll call for a big... DJ Derek Jeter. First at bat's going to be huge. I think the fans are going to just rock him with a standing ovation for sure. I mean, this guy is the most well-respected guy. Charming, good-looking, all of the above. I think he's still single. He dates some hot model, I think. But
all right, I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do here. His third at bat, this is where you got to really pay attention. Manager Joe Girardi, who was an ex-Yankee catcher. Yeah, does he remove him before the game ends? Everybody's asking that question, which I think he does, because when they remove a player in the middle of an inning, and I'll give you my opinion, it's he gets the standing ovation. Because if they wait for the game to end, you know, it's kind of like it's anticlimactic.
What if he screws up really bad at the very end? You don't want that either.
No, there's no chance. Derek Jeter is Mr. Clutch, Mr. November. There's not a chance of that. So I think a third at bat, they're going to give him a huge, huge standing ovation. But really what you want to look out for is the eighth or ninth inning. And this is where I think Girardi takes him out. I really do. I think in the ninth inning, no matter what the score is, you know, Jeter's going to want to play the whole game. But maybe with one out left, two outs left, they take him out of the game in the middle of the inning, which is rare. They do that a lot at the All-Star games. But they take him out so that everybody can go nuts. You know, they'll go crazy. It'll be a big hoopla thing. And then at the end of the game, this is what I believe, Jeter's going to take the mic. He's done it twice before. In the last game at the old Yankee Stadium, he took the mic, gave a little speech. And on September 7th was Derek Jeter Day. He did so as well. So I definitely think, you know, they're going to hang around. People are going to hang around. So kudos to Derek Jeter, one of the best shortstops of all time, one of my favorite shortstops of all time. So, hey, Derek, you know, congrats on an amazing career, and have fun at your final home game tonight.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. So you could be watching that, or you just take the replay?
Probably the replay.
Probably the replay. So here's another story, a little closer to home, calling this Homeless for the Holidays. Now, let me ask you, Alex, do you know any homeless people either by, you're like, look, she's giving me a look, folks. Like, are you kidding me?
No, I don't know homeless people personally, but of course there are homeless people, you know, in my neighborhood at my Ralph's where I live. And moreover, there's this really scruffy looking guy who hangs around at my Ralph's, and I gave him a banana once and he didn't want it. He wanted a cigarette instead.
Oh, like, sometimes well, they could be ornery. You know yeah. Like, dude. And I didn't want food, right? Yeah. And they give you, that's the whole thing. Well, let me tell you, I don't know if I would call this my friend, but there's a woman, I see her every morning, right? Every morning I walk to get my coffee, and after I get my coffee, I come and sit down. Anybody knows Burbank? It's 303 North, you'll see me there, 303 North Glendale, Glen Oaks Boulevard. It's right behind the Cartoon Network. I sit on those steps, I get my thoughts together before I hit the gym. I see this woman, I'm not kidding, every single day. She's the happiest, smiling. She's got hats, clothes. She's pushing a cart. She crosses the street. Don't know her name, but I say hello to her every day. Hey, sweetie, how you doing? Yeah, we like to have a conversation every morning. She goes out of her way to find me. And I see her like every day. Well, it's at 5:30 in the morning. And she's cruising down the street. She looks like she's in great shape. Yeah, she could be 50. It's unbelievable.
You
she's the happiest
her
person.
She's
I got to get her
show
in here.
Yeah.
Well, she seems maybe there's something because she's always, you know what, a little strange. You know when you put the white like block on your face? Well, she's got like white stuff on her face all the time.
You mean like sunblock?
Yeah, like white.
Like zinc?
Like zinc.
That's me.
You're doing the
yeah,
zinc
look,
also?
I'm so fair.
Oh, no. Are you the woman?
Yeah, I'm Mandy. I clean up good, right?
I mean, you clean up really good. You could
but
be.
But you know what? Seriously, I think it's really important to always give homeless women, you know, if you have an extra buck or something, I think it's really tough to be a woman and be homeless. So well, I just want to encourage everybody, don't judge. If you see a woman on the street, give a buck.
Give a buck, yeah. At least a buck. No, I do. Whenever there's, you know, I'm going to the store, I see her. Yeah. She's... You got to do it, folks, because let's talk about homeless, okay? This is in Los Angeles, which, by the way, is ranked number 2 behind New York. And we're going to talk about homeless population, right? Okay. Well, last year, the local officials, because it's kind of interesting. There's local officials that do the counting, and then there's the whole federal program. We'll talk about that. But local officials announced that 54,000 people in L.A. City and County were homeless. That's a 15% increase from 2 years earlier. And we'll talk about that because they do it every 2 years. Now, the jump bucked the national trends, which means we're heading in the wrong direction for sure. But here's what's interesting. The federal officials earlier this year challenged that 54,000 number and said that we are overestimating our homeless population by 18,000. They're saying there's this quote-unquote hidden homeless population where people are in, quote, hard-to-find places across the county's 4,000-square-mile sprawl. All right, well, what does it mean, really? Either way, 54,000, 36,000. We remain second to New York as the region with the most homeless residents. And I think the dispute comes from the government pays, actually, to, you know, provide the counting and all that. And they're focused on getting the chronically homeless and veterans off the streets in 2015. Well, good luck, because guess what? L.A.'s homeless represents 9% of the national total. National total, we're talking close to 650,000 people by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. HUD says that 650,000 people are homeless. All right. And we got about, what, you know, 9 or 10% of that. That's a huge number.
Well, it's a huge state, but also the weather's good here. You know
what I
mean?
You got that right. So, and they just hang in Venice Beach.
I'd rather be homeless in California than
New
York.
Be home. Yeah, you got to be homeless. I mean, I've lived in both places. But yeah, you definitely see more here. In New York, they kind of, there's the subway.
That's got to be tough.
Oh, that's
a rough
one.
I always feel really bad for the homeless in New York.
You know, I went to school in University of Pennsylvania, right? And I remember anybody from Penn back, everybody knows this. This was back in 82 to 84. There was a guy that lived on right at the hospital, right at the corner of... it was 30th or 32nd Street in Spruce. Remember that? The old guy who was didn't wear any clothes. He had just a pair of like hospital pants on the bottom and a little dude. And he lived on a grate, like the heat coming out. I mean, he literally lived there. You see him there. The guy lived until he died. And I think they buried him.
Wow.
I mean, he was there the whole time I was at Penn. I walked by this guy. He was kind of crazy, but he never bothered anybody. And he never wore clothes. He just wore the scrubs.
Wow.
Yeah, he never, even when it was like 0 degrees, the guy's laying on a grate. Yeah, and he didn't want to go anywhere. And they kind of like people would feed him. And yeah, I remember that back in then. But, you know, let's talk more about that because they say L.A.'s social, political, geographical complexity. You know, L.A.'s got mountains, forests, riverbeds, right? The L.A. River, you can hide there, islands, and 88 municipalities. So they said that this L.A. Homeless Services Authority, they conduct the count every 2 years. It takes them a couple of days to do it. They do phone. They do walking. And earlier this year, that's what happened. The Department of Veteran Affairs, they offered $772,000 to conduct the 2014 homeless count. So I think what it's about is, you know, we need more money because there's more people and the government's saying, well, maybe you don't have as many. Who knows? But, you know, either way, let's talk about who are the homeless, and let me give you some of these percentages. Now, these numbers kind of range over the past 5 years, but they're in this zone, and these are the following characteristics. You got 80% of all sheltered homeless are adults. That's a good thing,
yeah.
Right? You don't have a lot of kids. I mean, there's teens and whatnot. 60% are male.
Yeah, now, are you more apt to give to someone you see with kids?
When you see a homeless person with kids?
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of homeless people with kids?
I do.
I see a lot of people on the street, maybe with the kid there, and they're for money.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're homeless, I don't know. Are they all homeless?
I always assume they're homeless.
You do? Yeah. A lot of people are doing that to make money. But no, if they are homeless, I don't see a lot. I see sort of individuals.
I see kids by the Beverly Center.
You're over there.
And then I also see them like around here by the freeway sometimes, like a woman with little kids.
With little kids.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Burbank. In Burbank, I will say, they do an amazing job of keeping crime super low and homeless is low. I don't see many. This woman, but this woman, I'll tell you, she's got her shit together. I mean, she's got the card. She's happy. I've never seen the happiest person. She's more happy than 90% of the people I meet. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Happy to be alive. Yeah, check it out. 38% are between 30 and 50. That makes sense. 64% are in one-person households. And that clearly makes sense. Two-thirds, because, yeah, you know, if they have families. And they said 38% are disabled. Now, this is from the annual homeless assessment report that's given to Congress every year. So whatever the case may be, if there's homeless people in your neighborhood, don't treat them like, you know, a piece of shit. Hey, these people, whatever it is, they come upon difficult times, or sometimes they choose to be homeless. I have a friend of mine. It's kind of a sad story. A woman who had a son. I don't know what happened to him. She found him about 4 years ago. He was living with her, and he had some mental issues, and then he just told her one day, he told her. He said, I want to live on the street. And she's like, no, you can't. He chose to. Wow. And all he had in his possessions was a guitar. And he went to Venice, and he just, next thing you know, and took her like a year. He showed up like a year later for like Thanksgiving, I think, and then she would see him once or twice a year, but it kind of affected, a couple years later, I met her, and it affected her. She asked me to go help her find the guy. I said, well, I'll tell you, if he's in Venice, I said, what you do is go down there. They all know each other.
Right.
I met a homeless guy when I lived. I moved to Santa Monica last summer, lived in Santa Monica, Venice. There's like a close-knit community of them. There's some trouble that breaks out. You don't want to be walking that strip after midnight.
Right.
I will say, because then there's like, drugs, trouble. But no, they all, and she found them.
Wow.
She did. She went there. I said, just you and the woman, if I go there, they're going to tell you. And they did. She found them, brought them back, but he couldn't do it.
Wow.
He couldn't do it. So I don't know.
Sad.
It's sad. She was pretty sad, kind of heartbroken over it, because for 4 or 5 years she tried, and then I think she just lost touch with him.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a sad story. But speaking of, this isn't such a sad story here, but you know, Alex, I did these 30 episode, well, we were talking before the show, I was telling her I did the 30 episode Get Your Shit Together podcast, which was the prelude to this Tola Talks radio show. And every day we give out a Get Your Shit Together award to the person who's really got to get it together, but in a positive way. And, you know, yesterday, one of the stories was, I don't know if you listened to yesterday with Carla, we talked about this flight attendant who put up this site about what are the 5 worst things people do on airplanes. And number 5 was sex on the plane. You ever had sex on the plane?
My parents are listening to this. I'm not going to answer that.
Don't answer that. Your parents, they probably already know. Are you a bad girl?
I'm a good girl. But, you know, I was thinking about it because I recently went to Europe and I was really concerned about Ebola because, you know, I mean, it's not airborne. So, you know, but I'm kind of a germaphobe. So I was like, wow, like this Ebola is going to really like cramp my Mile High Club status. But
Say, there you go.
Just kidding.
We talked about Ebola yesterday, too. It's wild. Yeah. Yeah. So check this out. This is the award goes to this bozo. Now, this is on a Virgin America flight from Boston to L.A. Speaking of Boston, the Yankees go play 3 games in Boston to wrap up their series. Yeah, you can tell I'm a big Yankee fan. Dodger fan, though. I've been a big Dodger fan here. So this guy's on a flight. They make an unscheduled landing in Omaha, Nebraska. Talk about Omaha. Did you ever hear that one? I had sex in the park, America's Poor. I'm not going to get into that. That was a previous set. Go listen to the one. I don't even remember which one that was, but you know, those are my bad boy days. Because they made it a unscheduled landing because one of the passengers, which was allegedly, I love when they use that word,
right,
allegedly masturbating.
What?
no shit. This guy, Doug Adams, 26-year-old guy, was removed from the flight Monday morning, okay, after the plane made an emergency landing because, quote unquote, a passenger had a medical emergency. Now, they take the guy away in handcuffs. They take him to a hospital because this is what happened. Witnesses say that Adams, he had a hospital bracelet on his wrist, and he appeared to be on drugs, right? And he was masturbating. I mean, come on. I mean, you kind of know when he's doing that, right? And there was some good news. There was an off-duty police officer on board. He kind of got involved. What they did is, well, the story gets a little more complex. The police report states that Adams, who lives in Woodside, California, right? Not too far from here. He's masturbating in flight and tried to open an exit door.
Oh, that's not good.
Gets worse. Yeah. A couple of filmmakers were in front of this guy, Adams, right? And he said he was mumbling. He said he was mumbling about not trying to be violent and how he didn't want to be a violent person. And then he goes to the bathroom, he comes back, and he starts arguing with the woman next to him. Like, he's getting, that's when people got involved. Flight attendants, they take him to the back of the plane, they ask if anybody's a doctor, because they think this guy's like a lunatic already. They take his blood pressure, he starts fidgeting around, then he goes for the door, he goes for the exit door, and he's pulling the thing, like, they're
that's
like,
crazy.
Wow. No, this, what? I don't know, but I'll tell you what. This guy, right, Mr. Bozo, Doug, you get the award for get your shit together for today. Can't be masturbating on a plane. Hey, if you're going to have sex in the Mile High Club, right, you got to use the lavatory or go underneath the blanket at least.
Be respectable, for God's sakes.
Be respectable. Did you see? Yeah, you didn't hear yesterday. They found that there's a picture of a condom underneath the seat. This is nonsense. It's nonsense. Well, here we're going to go. We're going to throw you back, folks, to 1979. Oh, man, I remember this well because I became a senior in high school that year. My brother, give a shout out to my brother, Sam. He was going off to University of South Carolina to be a Gamecock.
Yay. That's where I'm from. No, go Cox.
No kidding.
Yeah,
he was a walk-on there, a walk-on baseball player. I remember he was heading out in the summer. I was getting ready. I remember my parents, they took this journey. I think my sister went too. I didn't want to go. I was like, oh, I get the place myself. My father had a little, I think it was a Fiat X19. Is that the car I had that summer, Dad? I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, I had a great time. But let's give you some quick little things. These are kind of the highlights. And you know how I like to get into a whole slew of facts here. But I got to believe that you weren't even, you couldn't have been around.
No, not even a glimmer.
You weren't even a glimmer.
No.
Oh, good. No, she's hot, guys. You got to see this gal. So, look, first time in history, a woman by the name of Margaret Thatcher was elected prime minister in the UK. That was on May 3rd. I remember that. And Sony released the Walkman. It was $200. You know what $200 was back then?
That's a lot.
A lot of money. Remember, the first snowboard was invented in the U.S., and the first commercial cellular network called NTT was invented. Bombing. Remember the Irish Republican Army? There were some bombings in England, I remember, with this Lord Mountbatten. He was the admiral. He was the uncle of Prince Philip. He was assassinated. Three others were assassinated. I definitely remember this, and you're going to remember the movie. You may not remember the time. The Ayatollah Khomeini. He actually was 15 years in exile. Remember, he came back to Iran and became an Islamic Republic, and he wanted to expel all the foreigners. I remember this. And 3,000 Iranian radicals, mostly students, invaded the U.S. embassy. I think they started with 90 hostages, but they held 63 American hostages were taken. That was November 11, 1979, and you remember the movie Argo.
Yeah, of course.
That was a great movie.
That was good.
Ben Affleck, Bryan Cranston. You know I loved in that was John Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome. Alan Arkin.
He's funny.
Let me tell you, I do on Mondays, we do Movie Mondays, and I give a 1, 2, or 3 thumbs. Well, I can give a half thumb. That's a 3 thumb.
Yeah.
Argo, Ben Affleck, he played Tony Mendez. Hey, if you didn't see that movie from 2012, folks, you got to see that movie. I think I've watched it 3. Clooney produced that.
Yeah,
Clooney produced that. So, you know, a lot of things happened. And let's talk more about it. I remember this clearly. Interest rates were through the roof. Inflation was 11.2% in 79. The Dow Jones closed at 838. It's at 17,000
wow.
Now. Yeah, interest rates ended the year at 15.25%. No kidding. It rolled right into the 80s. When I got out of Penn, I had student loans over 12%. It was like insane, you know, paying money back. The average cost of a new home was $58,000. Average income was $17,500.
Wow.
I mean, that's low. Average monthly rent, $280. I mean, $280.
Unfathomable.
You can't even take an airline flight to Cabo San Luis for that. Gallon of gas was 86 cents.
Wow.
It's 20% of what it is today. You could buy a Mercury Cougar for $6,430. You could buy a Toyota Corolla for $36.98.
Wow.
It's like some of the things. All right, what else was going on? Russia invaded Afghanistan, right? Public sector workers went on strike in the UK. I remember this. This kind of led to Margaret Thatcher. Her conservative government came in May, but in January, 500,000 members, check it out, they demanded £60 a week for 35 hours of work. I mean, £60, what the heck is that worth? It ended on February 14th, but it was first of several strikes that continued until Prime Minister Thatcher took over in May. The U.S., I remember this. This was all the panic buying when the oil prices started to, you know, this was due to the crisis in Iran. There was a lot of panicking and kind of made matters worse. In Greensboro, North Carolina, this was sad. I remember this, too. There was a Death to the Klan march. So you're talking the KKK. It was organized by communist supporters, but these white supremacists opened fire, killing 5 people. That's a lot of kooky stuff. 11 fans were killed. Do you remember the Who?
Yeah, totally.
Who concert, Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati, Ohio. 11 fans were killed and dozens were injured. Remember that 3 Mile Island? I remember that. That was in Pennsylvania, the nuclear accident when there was a fire at one of the reactors. You know, the Sahara Desert, you got 30 minutes of snow. First time ever. Wow. What the hell is it snowing in there? Okay, more to talk here. Well, let me ask you this. 29 people died in Nice, France, hit by a tsunami. You ever been to Nice?
I have been there. I was there when I was 18, and I almost drowned, and that's...
What?
Yeah, it was weird.
You went in the water there?
Yeah.
On the pebble, the beaches are like these rocks, right?
Yeah, there's a weird undertow or something, and that's really? My memory, so that's not a good one. I got to go back and redo
you
gotta that.
You got to go back. Yeah. Nice is, I remember most about Nice. I was all excited.
I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say? The women on the bikes?
The topless beaches.
Oh, I love that. I remember, it was 1985 I went there when I graduated college with a buddy of mine. We did the whole whatever, toured around, and we went from Paris to Nice, then we took a train, well, Monte Carlo. And at the time in Monte Carlo, there was like the U.S. gymnasts were there. So I remember we would kind of go into Monte Carlo. And then we took the train through Genoa and ended up going into Florence, Fiorenza. But I remember Nice. Nice was kind of cool. You know, they like the accents down there. It's different than Paris, and they're nicer.
Can you do the accent for us?
I can't do it. You're the actor.
I can't do it.
Well, I mean,
if I spoke French, I could do it.
There you go. Well, I can. I understood. I took French in high school, maybe 1 year in college, but that's about it. My mind is. I don't know if I can go back that far. Well, moving on here from Nice, which is really nice. We had 13.
Nice segue.
Nice is spelled N-I-C-E. People, there you go. And don't call it nice. Well, they are nice in that town. 13 tornadoes ripped through Texas and Oklahoma. Pope John Paul II, I don't know how many John Pauls there have been since then, he visited his native Poland. He became the first pope to visit a communist country, right? Well, here's one for you. First British nudist beach was established in Brighton. All right, let me ask you. You ever been to a nudist?
I've not, but what? I think it would be fun, I guess.
Got to do it.
I'm telling you,
you got a hot body, too. You got that yoga body.
Tons of sunscreen is the problem.
You got to cake it on. You're going to look like a white nudist.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's going to work.
Not so hot.
Remember Egypt's Anwar Sadat and Israeli Menachem Begin signed the first peace treaty between Arab nation and Jewish state. I remember that. That was when, Carter was president then. Well, let's move into pop culture. Kind of coming down the end here. Pop culture. Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols. He overdosed on heroin during trial about murdering his girlfriend. Remember that? Michael Jackson released Off the Wall. That album had 4 top 10 hits. 4 of them, like, remember Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, Rock With You. He kind of became the king of pop at that point. Yeah. Pink Floyd released their concept album, The Wall.
I love The Wall.
That was awesome.
Amazing.
Remember Another Brick in the Wall? Trivial Pursuit was launched. Yeah, the first modern bungee jumping by this group called the Oxford University Dangerous Sports Club.
That had to have been scary.
The first one. They're jumping from the Clifton Suspension Bridge that connects England and Wales. But just to rattle off some films, Superman, the movie, came out. Every Which Way But Loose. Remember Clint Eastwood? Rocky II. Alien, first one.
Love Alien.
Love it. Amityville Horror. Ooh, I remember that. Moonraker. Remember that? Roger Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kramer versus Kramer. And the Academy Award goes to The Deer Hunter. Wow. Meryl Streep. I think she was one of her first movies. Remember De Niro? I mean, Christopher Walken. It got 5 Academy Awards. Christopher Walken got Best Support. He was amazing.
That's great. John Savage.
Oh, I'll tell you. The film actually came out on December 8th of 78. Because, you know, you have to come out. But this was a 79 movie. And talk about music. Let's do it. Bee Gees were big. And speaking of the Bee Gees, you know, Saturday Night Fever, the movie, came out in 1977. Loved that movie. But it still impacted years later because the album of the year was the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack in 79. Pretty cool. So you had Rod Stewart. You had Gloria Gaynor. Remember I Will Survive? Ooh, I remember that was like an anthem. Blondie, Donna Summer, Hot Stuff, and Bad Girls. The Eagles. You had the Village People.
YMCA,
the Commodores, the Police. Billy Joel had the song of the year, Just the Way You Are. I remember that. A Taste of Honey was like the new artist of the year. And here's a group that I clearly remember. I kind of like this guy. You remember Bob Geldof?
Yeah.
The Boomtown Rats. Remember I Don't Like Mondays?
No.
I don't like Monday. Tell me why. You never heard that?
No.
That was he actually wrote that in response to a school shooting in California by this girl by the name of Brenda Ann Spencer. I remember she like woke up and killed people and said they asked their wife, she says, "I don't like Mondays." It's kind of messed up.
Wow.
Check it out. So here we go, finishing up. In 1979, what was going on in the TV land? All My Children. I remember Luke and Laura. I used to watch that when I was a kid. Masterpiece Theater, MASH, was still around. Price is Right, The Waltons, never really watched that much. Happy Days, Mork and Mindy, everybody knows. The Young and the Restless was big. Little House on the Prairie, Saturday Night Live, Charlie's Angels. Now, that was Farrah, right? Yeah. Farrah, Fawcett, Jacqueline Smith, Kate Smith. Yeah, and then there was The Love Boat, Three's Company, Dallas, remember JR?
Yep.
And Different Strokes. And then finally, one of my favorites of all time, Taxi.
Yeah, remember wasn't that great? Oh, Danny DeVito is just such a comedic genius.
Amazing. Judd Hirsch, you had Tony Danza, Christopher Lloyd, Jeff Conway, right? Remember him? And then Andy Kaufman. Remember that guy, Lodka? Who? That's another nut job. And who was born in 79? You had Heath Ledger, you know, rest in peace, Kate Hudson, and Jennifer Love Hewitt. They all were born in 79. So on that note, we're going to move over to this beautiful woman that's sitting across from me. You know, I'm pretty fortunate to have these beautiful women sit across from me. But let me go get out the paper here. Say to Alex, I'm like, now I'm going to try to find my notes. I'm like, oh, no. Alex, you're definitely you're an award winner. That's for sure. Right? Here we go. Let me say, folks, I'm getting my pages correct. Here we go. Alex Lombard, her writing and directing talents, okay, are showcased in the debut of the short Sophie, starring herself, Jonathan Groff, he's from Glee, and Marcos de la Cruz, Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, and in 2014 alone, you won Best Actress at the Charleston International Film Festival and the Costa Rica International Film Festival.
Yes, pretty, indeed.
Pretty cool
Thank
stuff.
You. Thank you.
Yeah, and seven other selections in Carmel. She did there's Holly Short selection, Soho, Costa Rica, Vancouver, Zero Film Festival, new filmmakers in New York. Oh, my God, girl. You're rocking it.
It's been great. Yeah.
So tell me about Sophie's, because this was a passion project, and I like the word delusions in there, and it's overly sexualized society. So let's talk about that.
So, yeah, this was, you know, my directorial debut, and I really wanted to, I was interested in, as an actor, you know, you can't just sit around and wait for the phone to ring. So I wanted to start generating my own content, and I thought, well, I'll try my hand at directing, see if I like it. I had no idea if I would like it or not. I loved it. I think I just loved bossing everybody around and being able to make all of the decisions that appealed to me. It was very nerve-wracking, but I had an amazing team, and, you know, you're doing it by the seat of your pants. You don't know what's going on. I raised the money on Kickstarter, but it all
came together. How much you raised on Kickstarter?
Thank you. I had two separate Kickstarter campaigns, and I raised $10,000 the first and $5,000 for the second. Yeah,
that's serious money.
It was a roller coaster, to say the least. Yeah, an emotional roller coaster, but it was great. It was a great experience. And you know, when I first started submitting the film, it was going a little slowly, and I was a little despondent. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? But it really picked up momentum, and you know, now it's rocking and rolling, and it's on the festival circuit, and it's winning things, and it's a great feeling.
That's awesome. It's pretty costly to submit to these festivals.
Oh my God,
isn't
it's
it?
So
$750 to $100 each one.
Crazy.
I did it with this film, but right? It's like then you got to wait, and then but it looks like you're doing awesome.
I mean, I joke with my, you know, friend all the time who made a short. We're like, we're going to open our own festival, because just in the submission fees alone,
serious,
makes so much money.
How many people submit?
Oh, it's crazy.
No, that's like a racket.
Totally.
Yeah, no, you kind of wonder. You're thinking, here I am submitting, and you submit. I'll tell you, no, it's no bullshit. You submit to 30.
You know, Sundance got 8,000 just short film submissions last year, okay? Wow. Over 8,000, and that's like $50 a pop. I mean, when you do the math, you know, it's
and here's
control.
What happens with that. I mean, I think, 8,000, that means not one person. How many people are reviewing that?
They farm it out to people all over the country, so you have no idea who's watching.
You might be getting
this
guy in like Omaha on the brain, you know, forget about it. Right? Who's like, oh, I don't know. She's too hot. She's too Hollywood now. Well, tell me, what's this film about? I mean, it's a short film, so I mean,
it's it's a controversial subject matter. I don't want to give it away because it's a psychological thriller. I did bring you a DVD, which I will give you later.
Oh, good. I didn't see it yet, folks, but I will.
But, you know, I wanted to do something with a twist at the end, something that was a thriller, and I think I pulled that off, and you know, no one's guessed it yet. So hopefully, you know, we're doing something cool. Right. And, you know, when Jonathan Groff saw the movie, he said, he said, after seeing it, I feel exactly the same way as I did when I read it. And he goes, I just feel like I got punched in the stomach. And I was like, yes, that's what
nice.
I wanted.
Yeah, you want people to feel.
Yeah.
So what's it like directing yourself?
It is so hard.
It is.
I cannot even tell you. It's a picture tour of hell. It's awful. It's not good.
It's tough, folks.
Yeah,
I did it. It's hard to do it.
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah,
I put out a 1-hour film, and it's tough because you're, you know, you as an actor, you can't get in your head, right?
Right.
But as a director, you're supposed to be looking objectively, and all of a sudden you're kind of doing both, and then how do you do it? It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Then you got to sort of drop in and drop out, right? If you're seen, because what happens is you might be in a scene, and then you're not in the next 5 scenes. You're directing, you're not really preparing for the next, then you got to come up again. No, it's very difficult.
It takes time, because then if you want to ever watch your playback, that just makes everything take twice as long. And
it's tough to critique yourself when you're in the cutting room, right?
And, it's the worst.
It's the worst. Yeah. That's why I had 2 associate producers on mine, Stephanie and Troy, that I needed that. Because it's hard to be, once you're in the editing room, folks, it becomes a different, right? It's like a different movie.
That's horrible, too.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
You know, I think about a film like Argo and Ben Affleck. I mean, he directed himself. He won an Academy Award. I got to, take my hat off to the guy.
Let me tell you, Ben Affleck is one of my favorites of all time. He's in the Clint Eastwood category for me. He really is. Whether you like him or not, I love the guy for what he does. The Town,
love that movie.
I'm going to go see Gone Girl. I can't wait. I've been reading all about that. He's awesome, and he's just, when he started. Remember back in the day with Matt Damon.
Oh, I know. Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
I mean,
he generated his own content.
Everything, and I see how that he went on. Not a lot of people, folks, go on to directing. It's a whole different beast. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different beast, and. Well, it definitely makes sense that actors transition, but when you look at them, right, most directors, right, they're not actors at first.
Yeah.
They're not. They choose that path because it's kind of like, most people say, actor, then it's sort of writer-director.
Right.
But to do everything and then you're producing, add that to the equation, right? Did you carry a pocket full of 50s or 100s when you did your film?
You know what? I had a great producer, thank heavens, who took care of all of that for me because I was like, I can't. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do admin. I don't want to argue with people over permits. Just here it is. Take care of it. So.
I learned that. I took, I did a little. I did a bunch of stuff before I made the film, and I learned that Dove Simmons. I took his class. Give a shout out to Dove. I don't know if you ever. He does like a 3-day film school. He's everybody. Will Smith. By the way, it's Will Smith's birthday today. Shout out to him. He's 46.
Happy birthday, Will.
And Michael Douglas is 70.
Wow.
Yeah. How about him? He's still rocking it.
He's great. But,
So what happens in the production side, what she's saying is you need all sorts of things, permits, and then there's the ones that you don't get. It's sort of like ask permission later. Well, that's when Dove's like, hey, you got to carry a pocket full of 50s because, if there's a neighbor that's complaining, you say, hey, no problem. Here's, will this take care of it? Boom, 50, 100, you're out of there. And they go away.
Yeah, we didn't have that, but our producer was a very charming Southern guy who just was able to sweet talk everybody, including the LAPD, on one occasion. So we were fortunate.
Yeah, you got to deal with, there's a lot of variables. And when you're direct, you can't be, it's tricky to be, but I did all of it. I was I had the 2 associates, because I had the whole day covered. We started at 5 a.m. and went till midnight.
Yeah.
It's a long, and you know what it's like. The days are long.
Yeah.
And leading up to it. And when you're done, though, right? Isn't that like the biggest high you could get when you wrap the final scene, or was it?
As an actor, it's really depressing to wrap something because immediately you're like, I'll never work again. Like, this is my last job. I love all of these people. Please don't leave me, But as a director, it wasn't as bad. That feeling that you usually get as an actor, it wasn't as bad because I was like, no, I'm still living and breathing with this. I still have to edit it. It's still my baby, So, it is. It's a better feeling than being an actor and wrapping something.
An accomplishment. Yeah, she's right. You get so everybody comes. Well, how long did you shoot?
5 days.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot. You felt like all full days?
Sure. We could have even shot longer, but 5 days.
You had, how many hours of footage? Like 20?
Oh, I don't know. No idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, ours was over like 2-3 days. So I only had like 12 hours of footage.
How long was your movie?
1 hour. 59 minutes.
1 hour that you shot in 3 days?
Oh, yeah. Well, we shot it really in 2 days.
What?
Well, we shot 98%. Then we went the next day, we did flashbacks, and the flashbacks were black and white. And then I had to bring the one of my co-stars back a week later to do a voiceover.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know how it is. You get in the editing
ADR.
Room. And
what did you shoot it on?
I don't even remember. Hilda Mercado was our, was back in 2009.
Okay.
So it wasn't like any red cameras or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the heck she used. I was sort of not as, I was just gung-ho. I was gung-ho. I put a little team together, had the camera. It was like really fun, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Right.
Just shooting from the hip. Well, I was like you, where, I would think you go on a lot of auditions.
I do.
You do, yeah. This
too
gal,
many.
Let me tell you, she got the beautiful blue eyes, the hair. Yeah, no, I didn't. I never got caught. My hair was too long. I heard everything. Oh, you're sure this, that, the other. I'm like, okay. So I just started putting out, I don't know, I was big in yoga. And by the way, you're a yogini.
I love yoga.
Yeah, you've been practicing for years?
Yeah, I started out with Iyengar, which was really hardcore, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went over to Anusara, which I actually really love. I mean, say what you will about Anusara yoga, that's sort of like where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I'm kind of sad because a lot of the yoga studios, like the cool mom and pop, really spiritual yoga studios, are being bought out by all these big corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time like finding that sort of like cool, groovy,
niche
scene. Now it's all like going to a gym and it's very corporate to me. So,
it's a bigger money business now. How long have you been practicing?
Oh, probably 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, okay. I started like 8 years ago, and it was still...
What kind do you do? What's your...
Well, I'm Vinyasa Flow Iyengar, but I was on Nixa DeBell. Let's give a shout out there. She's like an Anusara teacher. Anusara is real heart opening.
Yes, exactly.
And all that. Iyengar is really technically about body mechanics. So I'm really more of a hybrid teacher. You take my class now. I don't know what the... People say I'm a cross between... Jack LaLanne and Rodney Yee. I'm sort of somewhere in the middle and throw Schwarzenegger in there.
Wow.
I'm different. I don't really do a traditional class.
Yeah.
But you're drenched. When you take my class, anybody out there, I kick your butt.
And you don't do hot yoga. It's not
but I do a lot of lunge work. I do a lot of chaturangas. I really whack you out on the chaturangas. And then I do all sorts of funky stuff. I do some cool flow sequences.
I love that. I have to take your class.
You should come take my class. Yeah, check it out.
Okay.
Yoga. So what about this vegetarian world? How long have you been there? You're not a vegan. You're a vegetarian.
I would like to be a vegan. That's kind of my goal. I didn't know where pepperoni came from for a while. And then when I was 10, someone told me. And I was so grossed out that I became a vegetarian right then and there
the
spot. Yeah, my parents flipped out. They thought I was going to be malnourished. They didn't know what to feed me. And I grew up in a small southern town, and there were no options, really. Like, if you were a vegetarian, you just didn't eat, really.
Ooh,
so it was really hard growing up. That's my
thing.
At
a real young age. That's awesome.
Yeah. Moral decision more than, anything.
Yeah, vegan is, I always say, when I get the house in the hills and the chef, I'll go vegan. But
when
vegan,
someone else is cooking for you.
Yeah, you can't
it's
do
tough.
It.
Yeah.
No, I used to go to this place. You ever hear of this restaurant, Crew, in Silver Lake?
No, what's that?
Rachel, I think, owns it. I think it's Rachel. Well, it's a vegan place, and I don't know if it's still there, actually. I haven't been there in a couple of years. It's not still there? Oh, I'm looking over. We got a publicist in the room today. I'm saying hi to Jenna. Jenna's looking at me. She's giving me the
head.
No, so you're a vegan, huh, Jenna? And Jenna's not, but she knows. No, it was awesome. I remember she used to have classes on Sunday.
Oh.
3-hour cooking classes where you'd go and you would
soak
make
beans and stuff.
Oh, she was more into the desserts. So it was these nut pies,
The
process was brutal. I just went so I could eat all the food. Yeah, you pay the money. I didn't really do anything except kind of sit there like I was taking notes, waiting for them to pass around the food. Oh, I loved
it.
No, I used to go there. I actually was dating a gal back then who was vegan, so every week we'd go to a different place.
That's restricted.
Oh, she was like, she only could, was kind of crazy. That didn't last very long. Well, I'm a meat. I'm still
vegans
eating.
Vegans get a really bad rap.
Well, because they're no.
No,
like I said, I'd love to be vegan. I'd love to, but it's too complicated to get the
because
right?
you don't get to wear leather anymore. You don't wear leather, I guess.
Then forget about it. I can't do it. I can't. What about my boots and my leather jackets? Forget
they make
about.
A lot of very cool pleather no stuff, chance. Though. They do.
Pleather. That's the 79. Well, I was wearing pleather in the 79. That's
vegan
old Travolta with
bags
the heels.
And stuff. They make some good ones now. They do.
Why do you have to? Well, I thought vegan was food. Now you're telling me. No,
I
forget
think it's
it.
The whole thing.
I'm not
know.
Doing that.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing that. Right, guys? You can't do that. Forget about it. So what else do you like to do? Do you do the canyons? I mean, you love the canyons.
No, but I probably should.
Because
yeah,
you're
you know,
too...
I don't
you're
do
too,
the sun. That's
yeah,
the
sun.
Thing.
Like, yeah, it's coming back to me. You are. You're yeah. like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not that I love sunshine.
You kind of have that Anne Hathaway thing going on. You know that? When she had the long hair?
Okay.
Yeah, guys, she's actually... You're even yeah, maybe even hotter than her.
Well, thank you.
Well, she's got the yeah. short hair. You have
right,
a,
she has short hair. And I was thinking of going short, but... Everyone's saying no.
Nah,
so,
don't
okay,
do it.
I won't do it.
Nah, I wouldn't do it.
All right.
Because then
I'll wait until someone puts me in a movie and pays me.
Yeah.
To shave
hey,
my head.
You know okay. when they're making you with Tom Cruise,
yeah,
then
exactly.
you'll do it.
Then I'll do it.
Yeah, of course.
T. Cruise.
Yeah, I
love that guy.
I like. Don't
I
you?
I like him so much. I really
all right,
do.
What's your
I don't
favorite
care what
Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah, Risky well. Business. I don't care what anybody wow. says about Tom Cruise. I love him.
No, that's you have top three.
Of Tom Cruise movies? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I love, what's the famous? Top Gun. I
oh,
would
you're
say
big
that's
Top Gun. That was
Top
awesome.
Gun,
do you like
Risky
The Last
Business.
Samurai? That's one of my favorite Top Gun movies.
You know
Cruise
what?
Movies.
His teeth were, they were so white in that. It's almost like he had just had his teeth whitened. I know
so
this is a really weird, like, comment, but that's the one thing that I remember from that movie. I'm like, his teeth are way too white to be a samurai. Yeah.
But I love
I
that
was
whole
distracted.
Samurai world. That woman, they were beautiful. I like that movie. I don't know. That was like, I just loved him in that. Now, he's amazing.
He's great.
He's like made like 40, I don't know how many.
Great.
He's still awesome. So how often do you go
he's
to movies?
He's like that happy homeless lady, but he's not happy.
Exactly. He's
like
not happy.
He's like a multi-gazillionaire.
Well, who says he's not happy? You know him?
No, I'm saying he's like a homeless happy lady,
yeah.
but he's not homeless, I mean.
Yeah, no, yeah. he's definitely not homeless. No, I think he could buy this part of Sherman Oaks. yeah, no, shout out
buy
to Tom
one of
Cruise.
Us.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah, he's awesome. I look for it. Maybe one day, you never know. You're working with him. Who
you
knows?
Never know.
We're all working with him. Yeah. Throw Jenna in there, too. She's like, yeah, I don't know. But, so you do go frequently. I go every week now because, well, I go every week either way, but I probably watch 3, 4, 5 movies a week. I watch
oh,
a lot.
Oh, wow. That's
I do.
A lot. That's good.
I do. I watch old,
that's great.
Older films. Yeah. Did you ever see The Wackness?
No, what's that?
Ooh, gotta see that movie.
What is it?
Well, it takes place in New York City in 1994. And it's about Ben Kingsley, and then he makes an unlikely alliance, he's like a pot smoker. He forms an unlikely alliance with the high school kid who's the pot dealer. Kind of interesting, you know. It's a dysfunctional, you know, from Famke is
Johnson,
in it.
Yeah,
yeah she's in it from, she does a great job. Yeah, it's one of these movies that, so what I do is I watch, like, The Fisher Kings. You ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind
of
pick
what
up.
What are your favorite movies of this year?
Of this of year?
2014.
You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, I really like that movie.
I didn't
did.
See it, but it's gotten great reviews.
I like that movie. It really, yeah. it's kind of cool. It's, I like that. But I critiqued November Man. I went to see that.
Okay.
Begin Again. Gotta see that. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
Ooh. She's, Keira Knightley? I fall in love with her in that movie.
Okay.
I really liked her. Saw The Identical.
Okay.
Did you see that?
No.
Oh.
I see a lot of movies.
Well,
I
go listen to all the Movie Mondays, The Identical
to.
We critiqued. Yeah,
okay,
this guy,
okay.
that's the guy's Elvis. He's really cool. Blake Rain. Yeah, he. I wrote to him and Aaron Cottrell. If you were listening, Aaron, respond to my email. I try to get them on the show, even a call in. But, you know,
yeah.
they're busy. Things are rocking. I get it. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and then this week, I Walk Among the Tombstones. I mean, Liam Neeson
yeah.
is awesome.
Love him.
He's tremendous.
Oh, my God, love him.
Yeah, so I'm always, you know, I'm out there. And then this week, I think Denzel. Is Denzel's movie coming
yeah,
out?
The
Equalizer?
The Equalizer.
All right, then I'm going to have to review that. Well, I'm a huge Denzel. Did you ever see Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes, I did.
I like that movie.
Yeah, that's good.
It's funny. I like Mark Wahlberg.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love Marky Mark.
Yeah, Marky
He's
Mark.
He's great.
Man, I go way back. I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to wait to, man, I'm going to try to get him in the studio. What do I know? But
I feel like he would do it. He would come in.
He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
We have him and I wouldn't say dated the same gal, but I definitely know a gal. He probably hooked up with her the night before I did. But, yeah, this is going way back. We're talking Washington, D.C. I'm not kidding. And this was back in, I'm thinking, 85 or 86. Oh, yeah. I even
wow.
remember the girl's name. I'm not going to say it, but. No kidding. I was out there partying with some I mean, I don't think she was lying to me. She was pretty hot.
Oh, so. She told you that she
Well, she hung out the night before. She was at the concert. He was young. I mean, he's probably five years younger than me.
The Funky Bunch.
Funky Bunch. Yeah, he was Marky Mark. He was, I think, a big partier back in those days. Yeah. Well, I think he once said he was a train wreck, so who knows? But no, you know, never know, right? But yeah. He's good. Yeah, there's all sorts of tremendous. But what are your favorite female actors?
Oh, female actresses? Oh, God, I don't know. I don't, like, differentiate, I guess. I'm like, on a Gene Hackman kick. I know that's really weird and outside the box, but I kind of love him.
Well, he's awesome.
Where do we go with that?
Gene Hackman. I'm like, wow, we're talking. I got to dig back into the 80s with him.
Yeah.
Maybe the 70s. Well, here we go. Alex, you know, it was really nice having you, but we're going to go through the Fast Five. At the end of every show, we're coming to the end here, we do Fast Five. You'll know it's pretty simple. I'm going to ask you five questions. Pick A or B. Don't be looking.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate all the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking vanilla, you know, it kind of blends in.
No way.
Number two, tropical island or New York City?
Tropical island.
What?
Yep.
You're talking about you don't like the sun. What the hell? I don't get that one. All right. Wait a minute. You're kind of playing off. You're against type here.
Yep.
Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Ancient Rome.
I could see that. Yeah. I totally could see that. Mm-hmm. You dressed up in the toga, all white. Mm-hmm. Number four. Now, this one I have no idea. Tearjerker or action thriller?
Tearjerker.
I see.
Yeah.
I see, but I don't know. You got the psycho thriller Sophie. Okay. And number five, candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Definitely candlelight dinner.
Definitely. I totally see that. Maybe we could get her wearing some clothes from yesterday. There was a Cardi over there. Oof, you got to see that. You just can't wear anything underneath it. Well, that was a lot of fun, Alex. Thanks so much for having, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, hey, guys, you know where to learn more about me. Check out my website. It's richtola.com because I'm Rich Tola and dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.